When those two men that were in the tombs were running around there screaming with their legion of demons, how many clothes did those guys have on? None. They were naked. But you notice what happened. As soon as Jesus cast the devil out of them, what happened? They got clothed and sat down and they were in their right mind. When you get rid of the devil and their perversion, then you can be saved. Always remember, you have power over the devil. Don't ever let him do these things to you. I mean, take authority over the devil in your life and walk holy in obedience to God's word. Then he says, but you know what I teach. You know how I live. And you know what my purpose in life is. If you're a born-again Christian, don't ever let it be said about you, whether you're a young child in school, whether you're a person at work, where you're in church or whatever you are, let every other Christian, or not Christians, but let everybody that knows you know that you know and they know what your purpose in life is. And it's not to try to go to bed with as many different women as you can in your life, but it's to lead as many of those women to Jesus as you possibly can. Is that what your goal should be? Yes. Have a clean, pure heart. And make sure that everybody around you knows by your walk. I think of a boy one time when I was a young kid at home, just a teenager. I mean, I was walking with God. And, you know, the boys always, they go over to Lano or somewhere and get a case of beer, and then they come back and want me to smoke and drink with them. I said, no, I don't do that. I don't smoke and I don't drink. I go to church. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. I never would take part in their junk. Here a few years ago, right after Betty died, I was on my own. No wife at home or nothing. I got a phone call from a young man I hadn't heard from since I was a teenager. He still lived at Goldthwaite. And when he called me his name, I said, how are you doing? I hadn't heard from you forever. He said, well, I'm not doing too good. But he said, Thurman, could you drive down here and talk to me and my son? I said, well, I guess so. I said, Saturday I'll come down there, and I don't have anything really pressing. So I said, yeah, I can drive down there. It's only a 3.5-hour drive. I said, I'll come. And he said, well, I can't drive up there. I said, okay. So I went down there. And when I went down there, he told me where he wanted to meet me, and he did show up there in town. And so we just drove around and talked. He was an alcoholic, and his son was an alcoholic. And both of them was lost as a goose. I said, why in the world, since I haven't seen you in 30 years, I said, why did you call me? He said, you were the only man in high school, the only man that never would take part in our sins. He said, you never smoked, you never drank, you never cussed. I thought, if there's a man alive that can help me where I am right now, it'd be you. How do you want to be known? You want to be known as the guy that run around with the most wild women? You want to be the guy that smoked the most cigarettes? You want to be known as the guy that tell the most dirty jokes? Not me. I want people to remember me as a man of God. A man that was violent with the Word of God. A man that was radical. That believed that Jesus was the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And there is no other. I want to be even like that Marine in that college. That's the kind of guy I want to be. You know? If I were to go back to college today, I guess I'd have to be like him. Every time I think about that story, that Marine had been in Afghanistan over taking a chance on his life. And he'd been over a couple of tours. And then he gets a 6 or 8 month tour back in the United States, so he's going to take a college course, and he goes to some university and he signs up, and while he's in the class there, they're going along one day, and the professor walks in and he says, I want to tell you that there is no God. This Jesus Christ y'all are talking about, he don't live. If he does, I give him 10 minutes to knock me out. All the kids are petrified, young people. So this guy keeps walking around up here saying, you know, I told you Jesus is not real. If you're real Jesus, you got 10 minutes to knock me out. About 8 minutes goes by, and all of a sudden this big old Marine back, he gets up and comes up, and he just walks. Nobody knows what he's going to do. He just walks right up to this guy. Stands right in front of me and just backs off and says, bam, hits him right in the nose and just knocks him out cold. He goes and sits down. Nobody says a word. When the guy finally comes to and he gets up, he says, "What'd you do that for?" He said, "You were screaming at God, telling him to come knock you out." So he said, "I'm telling you, God's over in Afghanistan taking care of our troops. He sent me to do his light work." Do we need some more Christians like that? We need some more Christians that's bold like that. If somebody's making a fool out of themselves before Jesus, just knock him out. Get his attention. Let him realize that there's some men out there that believe that Jesus is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And like that Marine, he wasn't afraid of nobody or nothing. So he just knocked that guy out. As far as I'm concerned, that was God's light work, wasn't it? He listened to that crazy guy for about 8 minutes. And of course, whenever the guy got up, he said, "You know, one other thing I got to say to you, Professor. I'm over there in Afghanistan taking a chance every day on my life so you can say these stupid things in these colleges." He said, "As far as I'm concerned, we ought to take people like you out." Yeah, but, I mean, God said these things are going to happen. I mean, this is what gets me. Verse 11 and 12. "You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured." Did Paul undergo some suffering? Oh, did he ever? That's just like one day a girl, a woman that I had got both of her legs, her knees healed, and led her to Jesus. She had been a Catholic. The Lord just totally changed her life through my little ministry. I mean, this is way back before I had a ministry. I've always had a ministry, though. Always. Even when I was in the workplace, that's what I got this girl healed. And anyway, one day she called me and said, "I've got to come see you." Well, I was at home, right over at my house. And so we were at home, and all of a sudden when she got up, she walked in, and she's crying, and she just all upset. And I said, "Well, first of all," I said, "what's the problem?" She said, "My husband said he's so mean to me. He's so abusive." I said, "Well, turn around, take your shirt off. I want to see your back." "He said, what?" I said, "Yeah, if he's that abusive, if he beat you, I don't see no marks on your face. So obviously they're on your back." So I said, "Take your shirt off. I want to see your marks." Well, she said he hadn't beat me yet. I said, "Well, if he hadn't beat you yet, then," I said, "let's do some warfare." I said, "I mean, you act like here that you've been beaten with a cat of nine tails." I said, "You know, Paul, he was beaten with a cat of nine tails 5 times. Has there been anybody in here ever been beat for the name of Jesus yet?" Not one single one of us. You know, we're a bunch of wimps. You know that? I saw Spat smile when I said that. Eric was out putting the sign up out there. And yesterday they were digging the post holes and trying to put those up. Pat was out there trying to help him hold everything and everything. And she was talking about she couldn't hold that sign up. And I told her this morning, I said, "You know, you girls are nothing but a bunch of wimps. You know that?" Did God make the woman to be out there holding a big board up? No, he didn't make you for that. He made men for that. That's why we're supposed to be the ones that get dirty. We're the ones that's supposed to get out there and do the hard work. The women are supposed to be inside teaching the children, cooking, doing all the wonderful things that God designed a woman to do. Now then, because we've got away from what God called us and told us to do, the women are not in the home teaching the children. They're not teaching their daughters how to cook, how to clean house, how to be a wife. Do you know lots of girls get married today? They don't have any idea how to cook. They don't have any idea how to love a man. But yet mothers live with her daddy, maybe, hopefully, for 20 or 30 years. And she's never even taught the daughter how to love a man. She don't know nothing about sex. She don't know nothing about cooking. She don't know nothing about nothing. Well, what's wrong with you, mama? You need to be about God's business, and you need to be teaching that daughter, because she's going to step into a world one day. It's going to be an entirely different world. And she needs to know how to deal with that world. And that's why we got so many marriages that wind up in divorces, because the guy was never taught by his daddy how to love his wife. Never learned. Nobody ever told you. It's like, well, just let them grow up, you know, and when they get married one day, well, they'll find out all these things on their own. Well, that can work like that, all right, but that's not the best way. The best way is for the father to teach the son how to love his wife, how to treat her like a lady. And The mother's job is to teach, of course, the son some wonderful things too. I will have to say praise God for my mother. She was the best teacher I had. And then, of course, the mother should be teaching the daughter. My mother even taught me how to cook. I mean, I didn't have to sweat it. When I left home, hey, I could cook. I could make chicken fried steak and gravy. I could make all that stuff. Man, I could fry potatoes. I could do all. Mama taught me how to cook. Did your mama teach you how to? Well, but we need to learn how to do those things, right? Yeah, because, you know, if mamas will teach the girls how to be a good cook, how to take care of their self, you know, that's important. It's extremely important that, you know, here's what we do. We see a girl or a man or a woman, and we start going with somebody, and when we're dating, we're always on our best part. I mean, we always make sure. I remember when Cheryl and I, of course, she just walked out, but it wouldn't make any difference if she was here. I'd still tell it. For the first several months after we got married, if I come in and or something, she was still in bed, and I reached over to give her a kiss, she had turned her head and said, "Don't kiss me, I haven't brushed my teeth yet." I said, "I don't care, you know, I don't care if your teeth are brushed or not. I'll just give you a little love tap, you know. I just want to kiss you. You know, no big deal." But now then, it's no big deal, you know. After all this, she'd just lay there and let me kiss her. But, you know, some people, they try to stay like that, perfect forever. And, you know, if you do take good care of yourself, and a lot of women and a lot of men. Cheryl and I talked about this in great detail before we got married, even after God told us to get married. I said, "Honey, I don't know what you feel or how you feel about a man, but I want you to know, I'm going to make you a promise. I weigh about 175, 180 pounds, and what you see is what you get." I said, "But I'm going to tell you that in 10 years from now, what you see is still what you're going to get. I'm going to guarantee you that in 10 years, I won't weigh 250 pounds. I guarantee you I won't. Because I'm going to take care of this piece of flesh that God gave me. Because this piece of flesh He gave me is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to exercise it right, I'm going to eat right, I'm going to take care of my body. Now, I want you to know, woman, if you marry me, I expect you to do the same thing. I don't want you to weigh 300 pounds one day when you get 10 years from now. I do not want you to be 300 pounds. She said, "Don't worry, I won't be."
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, "Occupy Until the King Comes," in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.